You're listening to Write Winning Proposals, where you learn strategies to write clear, concise, and compelling proposals that persuade your clients and win more business. Here's your host, Michelle Theriault.
Welcome to the third episode of the podcast, Write Winning Proposals. In the last podcast, I described fluff as empty filler, kind of like cotton candy, watered-down whiskey, breadcrumbs in your hamburger, and stale peanuts, the styrofoam kind, that come packed in your shipment. It's also a proposal that's too general, generic, and not specific enough. Proposal writing isn't creative writing, and you aren't writing to entertain. You need good, solid details and information when writing a proposal. Otherwise, there's a temptation to add that filler. Remember, evaluators have a tough job. They have to read large volumes of responses that are often densely written and filled with fluff. They need to find evidence and information that matches the question and the evaluation criteria so they can score you. Make this as easy as possible for the evaluators. I'll talk about the care and feeding of evaluators in a future podcast. A winning proposal has to be convincing yet balanced. While the purpose is to sell yourself, if your sales job includes fluff and unbelievable claims, it can easily turn off potential clients and will certainly make the client reconsider the validity of your claim. You've got to provide evidence of your abilities and your background and sell them on how it relates to what they need. It must be based on realistic and convincing arguments that demonstrate, rather than make empty claims. Here's an example of hollow marketing fluff, directly from a real proposal. Quote, "Our methodology is an approach for business alignment that helps our team and our clients realize the highest return. We do this by ensuring employees understand and accept the roles and tasks to which they are assigned, incorporate our clients' values for professional standards, and adhere to our strict values." End quote. I don't really know what it means, and if you see it on paper, your eyes will start to glaze over before you get to the end. In discussion with another real-life proposal evaluator, I'm told that the biggest problem they had when reading proposals was the fluff, the generality, lack of real information or details, and over-the-top objectives and adverbs. Their observation was the same as mine. When there's too much fluff, it gets glossed over. If they've included some important information within the fluffy language, something that could increase your score, for instance, then it's too bad for you. During my research on readability, I came across this statement. Promotional language imposes a cognitive burden on users who have to spend resources filtering out hyperbole to get at the facts. End quote. It's from Jacob Nielsen, a PhD who's done studies on web usability. The concepts apply to proposals, which are more similar to web pages than it seems. Both beg to be read quickly and gather as much information as possible in as short a time as necessary. So do you want to keep the fluff out? My best advice is to gather details, information, and facts for each and every question you answer before you start to write. Include bullet points, checklists, examples, data, real references, and more. Then keep the enthusiastic adjectives, adverbs, and bragging to a minimum. They just don't belong. If you don't believe me about getting out the fluff, here's two quotes from characters you may recognize. Quote, "If you're out to describe the truth, leave elegance to the tailor." End quote, by Albert Einstein. Also, quote, "Most writers regard the truth as their most valuable possession, and therefore are most economical in its use." End quote. That one's by Mark Twain. If you think of truth as facts and details, proposal writers are economical in its use because they often don't have much of it, and need to conserve what they have and sprinkle it around evenly. Often, filler's used because the writer simply didn't know what else to say. Also, the temptation is to use marketing and sales language that's rich in concepts, promises, and theoretical benefits. Sounds good to the marketing and salespeople and makes a proposal a little easier to write, but doesn't mean much to your client's proposal evaluators. They're used to seeing promises and empty statements. What will get their attention are real examples and actual situations that illustrate and demonstrate that you've done what you say and how they'll receive benefits. Skip the hyperbole and marketing fluff and provide examples, facts, and figures without the high-pressure sales pitch, and make what you're saying more meaningful, memorable, and compelling to your client. That's how you write better proposals. I know it's more work, but it's worth it. If you have questions or comments about these podcasts, you can contact us at www.howtowinmorebusiness.com, where you'll find more podcasts and our blog. Be sure to sign up to our newsletter to get more information on our upcoming book. Thanks for listening.
You've just learned one more strategy from the book, Win More Business, Write Better Proposals by Michelle Theriault. Visit www.howtowinmorebusiness.com and join us again for more strategies to help you win more business.